Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Fresh from a not-so-Super Bowl halftime show, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The podcast that thinks Christopher Walken is a weird guy. Here is the man who spends his spare time counting to infinity. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, look what's going on out here in Arizona today. It's another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. In between shootouts and roundups and wiki ups and whatever other ups we have, we've got Medicare knowledge to pass along to our audience. And I am so pleased to be able to be the one to do that for you. My name is Doug Jones, as you just heard my Canadian nephew tell you, Drew McMillan. He's the announcer for our podcast episodes. And I am here to help you feel confident about your upcoming encounter with Medicare. If in fact you have an upcoming encounter with Medicare, the way I can help you feel confident is to suggest that you purchase and read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com and you put that into the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, don't forget those numbers, then you're going to find a nicely packaged tome with all the Medicare knowledge that most people are ever going to need. Some people have oddball situations. A few people feel most confident when they know every little thing about a very complex subject. But 95% of the people that are going to encounter Medicare will learn everything they need to know by buying Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And there's an edition of the book that's right for every budget. So if you've got a tight budget, I would suggest using your Kindle reader and having Amazon.com download the Kindle or ebook version to your reader for a total cost of $3.80. You can't beat that. If you want to have somebody doing all the work and telling you all the important salient information on each page and turning those pages for you and actually putting the knowledge into your brain, you can buy the Audible version. And that's going to be about $6 or so. Also, the paperback version, that's the most commonly purchased and seems to be the most popular edition of the book. That's an $8 item. And then we have the museum quality hardcover book at a cost of $22. That is, if it were a photograph, it would be suitable for framing. But since it's a book, it's suitable for gifting. If you know somebody that you want to play a joke on and you want to tell them they're about ready for Medicare, even though they're much younger, buy them the $22 Medicare for the Lazy Man hardcover, or buy it for yourself as a durable representation of your passage through the Medicare morass into sweetness and light of Medicare bliss. So in any event, I think you're going to enjoy the book. I think it's going to be very helpful for almost everyone in the United States that's going to need to go on Medicare. And I will be available to help you with any questions that you have that aren't completely clear, and to help you obtain the supplemental insurance that makes Medicare completely, fully protection, excellent protection for everybody that's on it. So don't hesitate to contact me once you've purchased and read the book, and I will be able to work with you in such a way that you'll end your encounter with Medicare victorious. Speaking of victorious, a guy who is generally victorious every time he comes up against a product or a problem that I throw at him is Randy Carson. And it's really a pleasure to work with him, because when curveballs come his way, he seems to know how to handle them. Step one, take a nap. Step two, oh, Randy, wake up.
Oh, how are you doing today, Doug?
We're coming off a big weekend.
We just got past a big three-day weekend, and I swear I wished I could have slept the whole weekend, but I didn't have an extra minute.
No, you had social engagements all weekend is what I heard.
Yep. Yeah. So bottom line is I didn't get any extra nap time. So if I'm sounding like I'm just a little bit slow on the trigger, I apologize. I'm trying not to be. I'm all stoked up with caffeine. So I'm hoping to keep up with you.
Well, here's the interesting thing. We have a new staff member, as we've been talking about the last few episodes, our podcast content curator. And right. The content curator is slowly coming to a clear understanding of what kinds of things I like to talk about. And I've got a bunch of great content here. So I'm thinking you can just doze off for the next 20 or 25 minutes and okay. I'll take over. And I won't really need your assistance except when it comes to closing out the episode. I will tell you one scary thing. While we've been talking, my phone has been buzzing on the desk, and I look down at the caller ID, and it's a mutual client of ours. And so I can't wait what she has to find out what she has to
okay.
say.
Okay. All right. Well, I will gladly take a nap. No problem there. I'll be right here. I may be sleeping, but my eyes will be open, I promise.
Okay. Well, you can put on those glasses where you've drawn the eyeball on each yes. lens, and yes. That'll fool me into thinking that you're paying rapt attention to the Medicare content that's been curated specifically for you today. So let me get a start on this content. And the item that comes to the top, the first item to be addressed today, is from a rabid, I'm trying to think of the right adjective for this, but it's a gentleman named Jules, who is a listener of ours, has been for quite some time, one of my favorites. Every once in a while, I hear from Jules. He's also a customer of ours, a client, and so he, I found out, is in regular receipt of the Husband of the Year Award, because they live in Maine. He and Mrs. Jules live in Maine, but during the wintertime, when life in Maine is probably almost unlivable, he sends her down to Florida. So she spends all winter in Florida while he toughs it out in Maine. So I'm thinking he's a great guy. I wish I could be that generous with my wife, but if I've got to suffer through winter weather, I'm going to need some company. Anyway, so he sent me a blurb which addresses a weird thing that I've always made fun of. We have a government branch, a government department called CMS, which stands for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but they forgot one of the M's. And so I've always made fun of him for that. Jules has been listening carefully, and he knows that every time I have to say the word CMS, I refer to the fact that they dropped one of the M's because it stands for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And it's just got one M in it. So that's ridiculous. And I think they're a bunch of dopes. And I have suggested that several times. And Jules finally discovered an interview with a CMS official. Now, this interview took place 8 years ago in 2014. That's almost 9 years ago. And the basic upshot is, during the interview, he's a guy named Ernest Reinhardt, UWE Ernst Reinhardt. He's a professor of political economy at Princeton. And he died about 5 years ago. maybe 3 years after this conversation took place. But the question is, let me ask you something that has puzzled me for some time. He's talking to, he's talking to a guy named Scully. I don't know who this Scully guy is, but apparently he was in charge of the CMS. So he says, let me ask you something that has puzzled me for some time. Your first act is the newly appointed CMS administrator, or HCFA, H-C-F-A, as it was then called. Your first act was to field a contest for a new name for your agency. Now, I don't know what was wrong with HCFA, ladies and gentlemen. I remember hearing over and over again the name HCFA being used in a speech by who's our Georgia senator who was a potential presidential candidate. God, I love the guy. Well, anyway, he used the term HCFA, and he said, if we play our cards right, we want more freedom in the health insurance industry in America. HCFA will dry up and die on the vine. He said, we don't have to get rid of it because it's not politically smart. Newt Gingrich said this in a speech. He said, we don't have to get rid of it because it's not politically smart to do that. We'll just let it die on the vine because we will let the free market take over the health insurance industry, and it will do a good job of providing for all the people that need health treatment and need to have it paid for. And so somehow they decided to change the name from HCFA to CMS. Tommy Thompson, the former governor of Wisconsin, was in charge of the overall administration of that point, the Health and Human Services Department. And so they had a contest, and the results of the contest were that CMS was chosen as the new name. So they picked the name from a group of finalists. Tommy Thompson liked Medicare and Medicaid administration. And here's where it comes into a conversation that Randy and I had earlier today. Our focus groups, they focus grouped the name. They had a contest, and then they focus grouped all of the results, the employees' suggestions. And in the case of the name Medicare and Medicaid administration, the focus group showed that the pronunciation would be MAMA. And so that would sound silly. They said, we don't want to have a government department referred to as MAMA. And so they didn't think that would be funny. Half the population would be disturbed by that. And so instead of MAMA, they went with CMMS, which is what I've always said they should be using, since the name of the department is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. But then this guy says, but since I already mumble anyway, I suggested that we shorten it to CMS. And he said, sometimes it really is that simple. That is why the name CMS came about, because one guy mumbles and the other guy thought the focus group's resulting MAMA was unfortunate and decided to flush that particular choice down the toilet. So they got rid of it. Now, I do have a paragraph here. This Uwe Reinhardt guy, Uwe Ernst Reinhardt, professor of political economy at Princeton, he died in 1917. But at one point, I got to hand it to this guy. At one point, he expressed an opinion after a very big financial crisis. He said, after the near collapse of the world's financial system has shown that we economists really do not know how the world works. Now, there's a guy that admits that his egghead profession, you know, in the ivory towers of a ivy-covered tower, that they don't know what the heck is going on. He said, I am much too embarrassed to teach economics anymore, which I have done for many, many years. He said, from now on, I'm switching to modern Korean drama instead. Although I have never been to Korea, I have watched Korean drama on a daily basis for over 6 years now. Therefore, I can justify considering myself an expert on modern Korean drama. So I'm sorry he's dead. I bet I would have enjoyed having some conversations with that guy. So anyway, that's how CMS came about. It was because of Mama was probably a bad choice, and the other guy mumbled too much. So moving right along to some less light content that's been curated for me. The next one that floats to the surface is an article about Medicare supplement plans G and N taking over the top spot in Medicare supplement sales. It used to be that Plan F was the plan of choice for most people in Medicare. It was a little on the pricey side. Let's say by pricey, I mean, let's say $150 a month to $175 a month. Now, in some states, like in Tennessee or Georgia, it would be in the neighborhood of $120 a month or thereabouts. And in other states, it would be $220 a month. So it depends on where you are and which state and which municipality as to the cost of your Medicare supplement. But Plan F was the plan that paid for everything that Medicare didn't pay. Medicare pays everything, but basically they've got some deductibles, and Plan F stepped in and paid all of the cost sharing, all the deductibles and the coinsurance and everything else that Medicare didn't pay. So when the law changed, starting in 2020, people who were born, people who were 65 in 2020, were the last people allowed to buy Plan F. Plan F then was only available for sale for people that were age 65 or older in 2020. Anybody younger than that was only able to get Plan G as the richest Medicare supplement plan. Plan G has a $226 deductible for outpatient outpatient treatment. And so it's almost like Plan F, but it is restricted to it is not going to cover all of everything like Plan F. And it was so simple to explain about Plan F. It covers everything. It's the richest plan, the highest level of protection allowed by law. Well, that spot has been taken over by Plan G. And because the population is getting older and all those people retiring at age 68 or 70 or whatever, those are the last customers for Plan F, and they remember Plan F fondly. What's happened here is that Plan G, with its annual $226 deductible, it's cheaper than Plan F. And in fact, in most cases, it's a great deal cheaper than Plan F, because with the only population in Plan F being older and older and sicker and older, the actuaries are jacking up the rates on Plan F to a greater degree than they are on Plan G when it needs a rate increase. And so Plan G is all of a sudden becoming a very good deal, and the difference in cost between Plan G and Plan F is very, very large, whereas that $226 annual deductible is not so large. So what we have here is the rates going up on Plan F big time, and most times, most people should not be thinking about Plan F. They should be instead thinking about Plan G. Well, now there's a school of thought from people who do not understand or agree with my proposal, my proponents, my support of high deductible Plan G. They like Plan N, and even Randy likes Plan N. Randy has Plan N, and Plan N is cheaper than Plan G, but it has some cost sharing that is still left in the plan. So if you do certain things like go to the emergency room, or if you go to the doctor's office, you're going to pay a chunk of money out of your pocket. Not a huge chunk, but Plan N, that's what keeps Plan N a little cheaper. Also, if you are ever going to be subject to the 15% excess charge, Plan N does not cover that. So it's not quite as simple as Plan G, and it's not quite the level of protection as Plan G. On the other hand, it's cheaper than Plan G, so people are asking about Plan N. And this article talks about how Plan G and Plan N are now the plans of choice for Medicare sales every year, and it runs up to, there's a graph here that shows that in 2012, the vast majority of Medicare supplement plans were first dollar plans, Plan F and Plan C, that covered the first dollar costs that you encounter if you're a patient under Medicare. And by 2022, Plan F has shrunk to just very small number of sales, and plans G and N have taken over 77.5% of the Medicare market. I, on the other hand, am a proponent of high deductible Plan G, and I can show most people how it is a advantageous for them to seriously consider Plan G, high deductible Plan G, as opposed to regular Plan G or Plan N. And I spent all weekend coming up with a form that I hope does exactly that. It's a very busy form. It allows me to compare the results of your Plan G versus your high deductible Plan G in two instances. One instance where you have no medical expenses all year long, and the other instance where you have the absolute worst possible year of medical expenses. Like my wife had two knee replacements over the last couple of years, and those were hugely expensive. We never regretted once having our high deductible plans that we have had ever since we came into Medicare. So I'm hoping to spread the word that the best use of your money is to consider a high deductible Plan G. Now, my next article here is related to this. It says the average Medicare supplement rates have been tracked by a service that we subscribe to, and it's gives this chart. It gives the average rate increases by plan over the years. And this is another reason why I want people to think about my favorite plan, high deductible Plan G, rather than the full-blown Plan G. And then we got a lot of people on Plan F, and those people are enduring higher rate increases than they should have to. So by plan, let's see, we got A, B, C, D. Some of these plans don't really exist anymore. They were plans in the misty realm of history, but they've ceased to exist. But let's start with Plan F. Those who have Plan F, the richest of all possible Medicare supplement plans, have incurred rate increases in 2018, 5.1%. In 2019, 6.2%. In 2020, 7%. In 2021, 5.5%. In 2022, 5.25%. Now, let me compare this with the high deductible Plan F. In 2018, the average rate went down by 0.3%. In 2019, the rate increase was 2.8%. In 2020, the average rate increase was 1.7%. In 2021, the average rate increase for a high deductible Plan F was 2.3%. And in 2022, 1.4-something%. I can't read it. It ran off the edge of the paper. So that was historical. Those people that have Plan F were all born before 1955. What's happened with Plan G over the last few years? Well, the rate increases for Plan G, which has been around quite some time, in 2018, their average rate increase for a Plan G holder was 3.9%. The next year, it was 4.8%. The following year, 2020, 6.2%. In 2021, the average rate increase for a Plan G was 4.8%, and the following year, it was 5.13%. So that was Plan G. Those are not huge, scary increases, but compare them with high deductible Plan G. And this, I think, is a story that's going to be told throughout the years. But right now, since high deductible Plan G only started in 2020, it doesn't have a long track record. But the average rate increase for a high deductible Plan G, its first year, 2020, 0.7%, not even 1%. In 2021, the average rate increase for high deductible Plan G was 1.5%. And in 2022, the average rate increase for Plan G was 0.5%. 3%. So that is that's an indicative of the fact that if one accepts the high deductible premise, if one purchases a high deductible plan G, as I offer to people and as I suggest to people, that the level of discontent is going to be non-existent when it comes to your rate increases. If you get a rate increase, it's going to be small. And the likelihood is you may not get a rate increase as often as your Plan G brethren will. Those are going to be more frequent rate increases, and those are going to be much higher rate increases. Now, just for laughs, since we talk about Plan N, they also get larger rate increases than you might expect. In 2018, Plan N averaged 2.8%. In 2019, they averaged almost 4%. In 2020, Plan N holders received an average of 4.5% rate increases. In 2021, an average of 3.8%. And in 2022, an average of 3.21%. So again, when you compare that with what we've seen with high deductible Plan G, less than 1% in the first year, 1.5% increase in the following year, and 0.33% in the year 2022. I think that's powerful evidence that high deductible Plan G is going to make people feel less disappointed in the cost of their Medicare plan because it's not likely to increase very quickly. So anyway, I see now by the old clock on the wall that I have chewed through all of our time. Randy usually has to pay 75 cents for an episode, and I think he might have gone over budget on this one. So I apologize, Randy.
No apologies necessary. I find that information very useful. And you know me, I'm a statistician. I love numbers. I love that kind of stuff. And we don't need to talk about this today, but one thing that popped into my head while you were discussing that is, in the future, have you seen anything come down the pike, or have you surmised anything might come down the pike that will influence the future of Plan N?
Nothing that's going to change what is happening with Plan N right now. I don't know of any influences that are going to change its relative position. It's kind of stuck in the middle like a redheaded stepchild. Plan G is simple to explain, and high deductible Plan G is simple to explain, but Plan N requires more explanation. It's not as easy to understand. The savings are there, but they're not as dramatic as they are with high deductible Plan G. And so I think it's going to sit there in the middle. Now, there are people who hate selling high deductible plans, and the reason they hate selling them is because it cuts into their income. If you're on commission and your commission is a percentage of what the customer pays for their insurance, then high deductible Plan G is the cheapest plan that's also going to provide the lowest income to the insurance agent. Plan N is being promoted as being a better plan for most people, but that's because the commission is not cut substantially like it is when the client discovers high deductible Plan G. That's bad for the insurance agent's pocketbook, but it's excellent for the client.
Well, as Doug said, I have Plan N, and the reason I have Plan N, truthfully, is that I didn't know Doug yet. So my wife, who is a huge researcher, landed on Plan N, and it sounded like a pretty good, a pretty good middle of the road sort of a deal. So that's how we landed there. But bottom line is, I didn't know Doug. Had I known Doug, we probably would have made a different decision. But long story short,
the thing is, it's still a Medicare supplement plan. You can't go wrong with that. Margaret was wise enough to keep you away from Medicare Advantage plans. So that worked out very well. She did the right thing for you.
She did. And she always does, because she's a very intelligent woman and does great research. So anyway, having said all that, we need to close up shop. We need to land the plane. We need to bring the bus into the station, because as Doug said, we have run out of our 75 cents worth of time. So rather than spend another quarter, we're going to go ahead and close her down. But before I do, thank you so much for joining us. We always enjoy having you with us. You could have been a number of different places doing a number of different things, but you weren't. You were with us spending a little bit of time out of your day with Doug and Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And we've already talked about a variety of things, you know, in terms of the paperback and the, you know, hardcover and all that good stuff. And I like to cover a couple things that Doug doesn't touch on. Number one is he is a nationwide licensed agent. So if you've got a Medicare question and or problem, Doug is your guy, always has been, always will be. And the other thing I'd like to ask you is that if you can find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the books, we would certainly appreciate it because we are always in the rating wars in the podcast and the book publishing business. So give it a thought. We would certainly appreciate it. So in the meantime today, if you haven't been watching your watch, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma, now living in the high altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And today I'm going to have to put him in at about 12,000 feet.
Oh, I was hoping to get rid of that gas mask. All righty. Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look forward to talking to you on our next episode. Bye-bye.